Hello, I'm Doug Fakima at the Anacortes Christian Reformed Church, and it is my privilege to welcome you to another weekend of worship, both in person and online, when we pray especially for the persecuted church. As we continue our World Hunger Campaign, and as this week I begin a series of messages leading up to Thanksgiving. Our call to worship is from Psalm 107, one of the great Thanksgiving invitations in Scripture. It's the beginning of Book 5, and you'll see why that is important later on in the message. Psalm 107 introduces the theme of the last book of Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those who redeemed from the hand of the foe, though we gathered from the lands from the east and the west and the north and the south. Father, thank you for inviting us to give thanks this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, it's the first weekend of a series of messages leading up to Thanksgiving week. This morning, a message from Psalm 145. Now, you might think that those two themes this morning, especially praying for the persecuted church, please check out our online e-bulletin for a prayer, and then we'll be posting some videos on our Facebook page. Well, praying for the persecuted church and then preaching a message on Psalms might sound disconnected. I'm going to connect them this way. In October of 1937, Pastor Paul Schneider, one of the first martyrs of the Confessing Church in Germany, one of the first victims of the Nazi regime, was finally arrested. His ministry came under the close look of the Nazi rulers in 1933, very early in the Nazi reign. But it was in 1937, after four arrests already, that he preached one final sermon in his small parish church, a sermon on Psalm 145. A sermon in which he both challenged his church to give thanks and to remember that that God alone is the one to whom we give thanks. From the message, from the passage that that Pastor Paul Schneider offered, Psalm 145, our first message getting ready for Thanksgiving. Psalm 145, the last psalm of that final book five of the Psalms before the five psalm hallelujah chorus, and it's a fitting psalm to end a psalm, a book that begins, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. With that theme, David closes this book this way: I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of your of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises, loving toward all He has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food at the proper time. You open your hand, you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, loving toward all He has made. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears the cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. David's psalm of praise, the Holy Spirit's word to the church in Anacortes in 2020. Reading this psalm with Pastor Paul made me think of exactly who it is that we're giving thanks, what it is we're giving thanks for, and when is the best time to give thanks. As I said, this psalm closes book 5 of the Hebrew prayer book, and then makes space at the end for those 5 hallelujah courses that close our book of Psalms. And it's fitting that it begins, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And then David continues that theme, "For I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. I will extol your name forever and ever." And then in closing, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." Who is the object of the great psalm of praise? God, the maker. And this is not just a personal psalm. This David's final few psalms in the book of Psalms begin with Psalm 139, a personal reflection on God. This is a creational reflection on God. It is a big picture of what God is doing. And the Heidelberg Catechism does a wonderful job reflecting the person to whom we are giving thanks as we approach Thanksgiving, the person who is the object of David's consideration in Psalm 145, and the person who sustained Paul Schneider as he became the witness at Buchenwald, and even as he was being tortured and finally killed, preaching out of isolation, praising God and giving thanks to the very end. This is what the Heidelberg Catechism says about the God who is the object of our thanksgiving of David's praise. What do you believe when you say, "I believe in God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth"? And the answer given is this, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. The creator of the heavens and earth is my God, is my Father. And the story continues from the 10th century BC when David writes the psalm of praise to the first century when Jesus comes to make that so much real, so real. "I trust him so much that I do not doubt that he'll provide whatever I need for body and soul." Twice in this psalm, David says he will provide. He satisfies the desires of every living thing. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, who he hears their cry and he saves them. "I trust him so much that I do not doubt he'll provide whatever I need for body and soul, that it will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world." And if there was one theme that Paul Schneider reflected in his writings from Buchenwald, it was that he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is the Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is, and here I'm going to take a little bit of exception to the Heidelberg. He desires to do this because he is my faithful Father. I'm taking a little bit of liberty with the text. We're celebrating today the God who created and the God who providentially supplies everything we need. And the psalmist especially turns to food, which is a great theme of this Thanksgiving season. We've had some really interesting discussions here at the Anacortes Christian Reformed Church about how we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving socially distanced. Are we going to do a drive-by dinner out front of our church? Are we going to... we just don't know yet. But food is still going to be a part of our Thanksgiving. And I'm so glad that the psalmist remembers that you give them food at the proper time. So however you're going to make this Thanksgiving thing work socially distanced this year, just remember that God's going to supply the food at its proper time. And I'm more worried about the isolation part than about is there going to be enough food to go around. The who is the God who creates and the God who is my Father. Though what we're thankful for, God's work in creation, this psalm has the big picture, the creation picture. Go to Psalm 139 to get the more personal picture. But it's a wonderful reminder of what God has been doing, about how God works. Gracious, compassionate, good, faithful, loving, upholding, righteous, fulfilling. It is a God who is acting. And one interesting note on this psalm, it isn't a God who speaks in this psalm. We know God in Psalm 145 by what he does. Now, he points to Jesus, the final word we have to obey, which is a quote from Paul Schneider's favorite declaration, The Barman. But this is more creational, the first book, than it is a special revelation, God's second book. And I'm just glad that he has given creation such a high value here. It's not just in redemption that we know God, but it's that in his love to all his creatures. That in his supplying all his creatures what they need. He is near to all who call on him. The Lord watches over all who love him. This is a psalm in praise of what God is doing in my life, in my family, in our church, and in our world. Even as Pastor Paul Schneider reflects, things are difficult around us. We still give thanks to God for what he is doing in this world. For the Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up all those who are bowed down. And when is the best time to give thanks? November 26th, between football games, we give thanks. But here it's every day, forever and ever, I'll praise your name forever and ever. And then just in case we didn't get it, he closes this psalm with another personal statement. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. I think it's a reflection of 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul picks up this theme and tells us to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's a forever and ever thing. For Paul Schneider, however, Thanksgiving was also missional. It drove his personal mission against the German regime, but it also made him an incredibly powerful and effective pastor in the small parishes in which he ministered between 1926 and 1937. It's a missional thing. And that's picked up in this psalm. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts, and that word will spread out because all the world is going to hear of your mighty acts. I love Charles Spurgeon's sermon on this psalm. And the way he takes a psalm that a season, Thanksgiving, that is so personal and makes it missional. Reflecting on the commending God's great works, such happy utterance will also help to comfort your own Christian friends and fellow sufferers. For there is a great deal of misery around the world now more than usual. Spurgeon's right on target. Many are sorrowing from various causes. Therefore, my dear friends, be happier than you ever were. Thanksgiving is missional. That venerable man of God now in heaven, our dear old friend, when it was a very foggy morning in November, used to always come into the vestry before the sermon and say, it's a dreary morning, dear pastor. We must rejoice in the Lord more than usual. Things around are dark. I hope we shall have a very happy service today. He would shake hands with me and smile till he seemed to carry us all into the middle of summer. What if it is bad weather? Bless the Lord that it is not worse than it is. We are not altogether in Egyptian darkness. The sun does shine now and then, even in Anacortes in the winter. We are sure it is not blown out. So when we are sick and ill, let us thank God and we shall not be ill forever. For there is a place where the inhabitants are no more sick. And now today, if your harps are hanging on the willows, take them down. If you have not praised the Lord as you should, begin to do so. Wash your mouths and get rid of the sour flavor of murmuring about bad trade and bad weather and bad politics and bad whatever. Sweeten your lips with the pleasant confection of praise. I will tell you this, brothers and sisters. If any of you confess to me that you have sinned by going too far in blessing God, I will for once become a priest and give you absolution. I have never tried my hand at that business before, but I think I can manage as much. Praise God extravagantly as you can. Try it. If you would say within yourself, I will go beyond all the boundaries in this matter, there are no boundaries to deserving of an ever-blessed God. This is a missional thanksgiving. It starts personally in the psalm. I hope you noticed. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever. Every day I will extol you. And it ends with, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Much before, every creature is invited into this this process. It's a very personal psalm to begin with. And then together, the generations commend generations to God's great works. I'm thinking that not only is Psalm 145 an invitation for a personal response to what God has been doing in my life. That's why we give time in our service to share prayer requests and praises, a personal reflection of what God is doing. But it is also, in a sense, a Romans 1 kind of test where thanksgiving becomes the sign of a redeemed heart. Maybe the most objective sign of God's work, thanksgiving leading to joy. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him, but their foolish hearts became futile. Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Thanksgiving is a powerful individual test, sign of where my heart is with God. And thanksgiving is a family affair. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. This is both something I'm doing and something we are doing together. Family, church, the people of God. One generation will commend to the next. That is a family responsibility to pass down the joy of Thanksgiving. Not just Thanksgiving recipes, but the character of God behind the Thanksgiving that we bring every day of our lives. And Thanksgiving here is kingdom-sized. It is big. Beginning in verse 10, all that you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all men may know. This is a kingdom thing, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. This is a big thanksgiving. Just note the alls there. All men may know of your mighty acts. And I'm struck that that thanksgiving really is one of our kingdom identifiers, one of our kingdom attributes, being a thankful people. Well, how does Psalm 145 encourage us to be to get the most out of this Thanksgiving season? Three thoughts came to me as this text was resonating in my mind this week. Number one came from a wonderful blog by a writer named Nicholas Batzig. He writes a blog called Feeding on Christ. It's worth reading once in a while. And he turns to the idea of thanksgiving, and he says, be really careful that you don't miss what Jesus thanked his Father for. an interesting thought. And he says there's three things in particular for which Jesus gave thanks. The first thing he gave thanks for was that God used him in his salvation work, in his redemptive work, particularly in the miracles. Think of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. He prays. He looks up and says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus begins the calling Lazarus out of the tomb by giving thanks for his inclusion, for participation in God's redemptive work here in this great miracle. He gives thanks for God's sovereignty in redemption. I love Jesus' response in Luke 10, 21 to 22. "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, because you have hidden these things from the wise and have revealed them to the little children.'" That's us, who with childlike faith are going to respond to the Father's call. "For this was your good pleasure." Jesus gives thanks for God's sovereign work in revealing his salvation to us. And third, and maybe most amazing, Jesus gives thanks for the sufferings he endured for our salvation. And the testimonies that were shared around Pastor Paul Schneider's 2 years in the Buchenwald prison. Early on, before the program against the Jews had started, Buchenwald was still a concentration camp, a labor camp, and in 2 years of mostly isolation and severe beating, Pastor Paul continually gave thanks for his ability to preach the gospel through the window of his isolation cell to the prisoners there. Jesus gave thanks for his suffering because it was redemptive in your life and in my life. The first way to get the most out of Thanksgiving is to remember what Jesus gave thanks for. The second, I'm going to challenge us to use Psalm 145 as a kind of guide for watching thankfully what God is doing in my life, in my family, in my church, in my community, and in this world. We've already talked in our service today about the persecuted church and seen a little bit about what God is doing around the world. We can thank God for that. Thank God that he is gracious and compassionate, and look for where that's working in my life. Thank God that he is good to all, and look for ways that is being worked out in my family. Thank him for his faithfulness to all his promises. How is that being worked out in our church? The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. How is that being worked out in our community? The Lord is righteous in all his ways. How is that being worked out in our nation? He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. How is that being worked out in our world? He watches over all who love him. How have you experienced God's watching this week? And how do you give thanks for that? We're going to share a little bit more about this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Zooming at our Bible study. Join us, and we'll talk more about how Psalm 145 is kind of a guide to giving thanks. And third, I think this psalm expands our classic Reformed paradigm of our theology. I mean, the Heidelberg Catechism, we've already referred to that today, arranges our encounter with God in three sections: a guilt section, a grace section, how I experience God's grace, how he saves me, and then a gratitude section, how I respond to what God has done because of my guilt. Guilt, grace, gratitude. And I think the Psalms, Psalm 145, Psalm 50, take that guilt, grace, gratitude paradigm, and they add a fourth G to it. And I'm thankful to Pastor Kevin DeYoung for writing this down, and it's something I've been thinking about, but he made it he wrote it much better in his Gospel Coalition blog. Grace, guilt, grace, gratitude, and glory. Psalm 50. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel, for I am God, your God. It begins with God speaking to his people. And then at the end, but to the wicked person, God says. So these two people God speaks, to whom God speaks in Psalm 50 are really important. To my people, he says, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Be thankful. Bring your offerings. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will, the NIV text says, honor me. You will glorify me. Is a better way to understand that. To the wicked person, he says, consider this, you who forget God. Be very, very careful. For those who sacrifice thank offerings, honor me. To the blameless, I will show my salvation. That thankfulness leads to glorifying God. Again, from Spurgeon's wonderful sermon. Lastly, let us praise and bless God because it is the way in which he is glorified. We cannot add to his glory, for it is infinite in itself, but we can make it more and more widely known by simply stating the truth about him. Don't you want to give honor to God? Would not you lay down your life that the whole world, earth might be filled with his glory? Well, if you cannot cover the earth with his praises as the water covers the sea, you can at least contribute your portion to the flood. Isn't that great picture? Oh, keep not back your praises, but bless and magnify his name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. It will lift upward and heavenward if we can all unite in praise. We will see it rising as it were beneath our feet and ourselves rising with it until we stand as at the top of some lofty alp that has pierced the vault of heaven. And we shall be among the angels feeling as they feel, doing as they do, losing ourselves as they lose themselves in the eternal hallelujah of glory and honor and majesty and power and dominion and might be unto him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Thanksgiving is an invitation to glorify God in a new way. And I invite you to join me with this in a study of Thanksgiving over the next few weeks. Father God, thank you for what you're doing, for your faithfulness, for lifting up those who fall, for supplying what your creatures need. Thank you for revealing your character to us. And Father, thank you for completing that revelation.